All right. Hey there. Welcome to the Total Connector Show. My name is Kay Vandavani. I'm really super excited to have Randy Brito from Loggia Mesh with me for the first time on my show. Randy, thank you so much for your time. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me here.
Sure. My pleasure. We already, had a short chat a while ago, and I told you a little bit, about the background or the reason why I'm so excited and really it's a top priority for me to talk about this topic because you and your team at I'm gonna let you introduce yourself a little bit and Loggia Mesh, but still want to give a little bit of background info for my listeners. I had a couple of weeks ago a great talk with Zio from Iran. He's actually pretty well known in the Bitcoin scene, in the Bitcoin space. He's even been mentioned by the human rights activist or advocate Gladstein, is that, yeah, Alex, I think he's
the Human Rights Foundation.
Exactly, yeah. And, there've been this protest going on, and, I don't want to go into, all these discussion with its riots or protests. I'm sure partially it's instigated, but it doesn't matter. You got the, the oppressive sort of theocratic regime. You got the sanctions and embargoes going on for decades, so the people are suffering, socially, economically, communication wise. And when it comes to money, transaction, it's really headache. It's a pain point. And I think this is what makes me so excited is that, with, whatever it's called, local mesh network, satellite radio frequency technology, I'm not the technical guy, but I know, committed people like you guys with your team, that this is possible. It's feasible for the first time in the very near future to have Bitcoin transactions and communication without internet, and even, as you say, even on your website, without the grid. So, Randy, could you break down a little bit, introduce yourself a little bit, your background, tell me something about Loggia Mesh. What was the path to, how'd you guys find together, what's the mission, and a brief description, what are you guys doing in this project, in this company? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Myself, I started reading about Bitcoin in 2011. I founded Bitcoin Venezuela as a non-for-profit organization dedicated to educate about Bitcoin in Venezuela and Spain. And after a few years, we started doing humanitarian aid from the non-for-profit. And one of the things that we started 2 years ago was adapting and creating tools for the cases like Venezuela, right? So we started to think that Bitcoin to be used and to have more adoption needed some tools to be adapted, translated, in this case, like advanced or enhanced for these kind of situations. Like Venezuela is a very specific storm situation. So it's like perfect storm situation. It's the same case with Iran. So you have foreign exchange control, you have capital controls, you have a hyperinflation, there is censorship on the communications and websites, there are blacklists of websites that you cannot access to, there is persecution of people using the internet or any other type of communication for free speech. So this is the kind of things that we 2 years ago started working on in order to help Bitcoin get more adoption, but also to let people be more free on what they want to do, in this case, communicating or paying or sending Bitcoin or accessing websites that are being censored in their country or this kind of thing. So the idea of Loggia Mesh started almost 2 years ago when in Venezuela there was a blackout, an electricity blackout that left a city for a whole week without electricity, which affected the cell towers. So the cell towers, imagine you have your cell phone and there is 1 week without electricity in the whole city, so you are not capable of charging it. But you find a way to do it. It's like you plug it into your car, you find gas or oil, and you make your car run until your phone is charged. And when you want to use it, the 3G, 4G mobile network doesn't work because the cell tower is down. Because after 3 days, the cell tower also runs out of gas, of the electricity generator that it runs on gas. And then you find out that you are not able to communicate with anyone outside your city. So what do you do in that situation? How do you pay others so you are capable of eating? How do you pay others to get the gas to put the generator to work so your fridge in your house doesn't melt completely with all the food inside of it and everything going rot? So what? How do you pay others when you cannot access your online banking website because there is no electricity or internet at all? So that's how, that's what came up. We came up with the idea of making mesh network. So in that, what is a mesh network? Mesh network is a number of devices that connect to each other in a decentralized way that it is capable of finding path to deliver a message. So you're capable of communicating, but also paying, for example, with Bitcoin, because it's simply information that you have to send from one side to another in order to get it added to the Bitcoin blockchain and get the confirmation, for example. So it's not only a mesh in the way that it would be, for example, with computers or routers that are connected to the electricity and with an antenna connect to each other from one side to another, but it's also decentralized in the way that it doesn't actually need to be plugged into the grid system. So it runs on a battery. It is very small, so you can carry it around, which adds some safetiness to it. So you can carry it around because this mesh network uses radio frequencies. So the thing with radio frequencies is that in the Iran or Venezuela situation where there is persecution of people also through social media, the use of mobile bandwidth, because those are attached to SIM cards that can be men in the middle or can be tracked down to people. So the radio mesh nodes that we are creating can be carried around as almost like a hotspot that you can carry around to get connected to the mesh instead of the internet. So that gives you this, that you can move around, you can get better signal, so you are not attached to your house. It is also more difficult to find you because you are always on the move. So you can, for example, get it blocked in your car and it will be an antenna moving around the city.
What do you mean? Can I just interrupt? What do you mean, like, it's not so difficult? Like, this is the first concern, I think, any fearful or paranoid Iranian citizen or, you know, somebody living in Iran would ask you or would ask themselves, how secure or private and shielded and protected is this network? Like, you know, like when I look at GoTenna, just I don't want to actually, name any company, but I saw another article today. I'm like, every time I see GoTenna articles, so any kind of reports, it's always like pictures of the military, like military grade style equipment, communication. I'm like, really? It's all about ethics or ethos of a company. And there are really few companies in this space like you guys that really have a mission in your heart. You really want to, achieve something and help people. And are there any backdoors? Like, can it be interfered with, scrambled, this is the aspect I want to really go into deep, but, finish off what you want us to say. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, this company, for example, sells devices specifically for these kind of things, like for authorities, for firefighters, for military and rescue teams and all things. That's mostly not for the regular user. So it's like trying to compare a satellite phone that almost no one has to a hotspot, which everyone can go to a hot store and buy with it. So you can buy one and connect your phone or have it in your car, so everyone can connect to play with the iPads or whatever, right? So we are trying to approach more to the regular user. So we are selling like a hotspot for the LoCHa mesh. So when you buy one of our devices, you will be able to connect up to three smartphones through over Wi-Fi to it, like a hotspot or a router with a battery on it. And so this, the idea is that in part of the privacy and security is that it is completely open source. So you can look it up, you can check what the code says it does. You can even wipe out the device or build your own, and you can flash the software that we have on GitHub on one of the devices you own or you created yourself. You don't have to trust us on the hardware. You either don't have to trust us on the software. You can check it out yourself. It's completely open source. So you can see what the firmware on the hardware is doing. So you can see that it's basically relaying messages, sending messages to other devices over radio, sub gigahertz radio. So it reaches long distances. And in the part of the privacy and anonymity, you have the open source mobile app that runs on the phone that you can download from the App Store or the Play Store when it's available. But you can also build yourself from GitHub. And we most probably will make it available over the device itself, because if you have a device or you bought the device and you don't have internet, or you don't want to expose yourself by downloading the app from the App Store or the Play Store, like it has
exactly that's what I was going to ask you, because you know I'm sure people would like be so paranoid, like second, I don't even know whether people, like, how restrictive is it, like how, you know, difficult is it in Iran? I don't even know, because you know I haven't been there since 1979. I don't even know, you know, what the situation is really like you know, how much surveillance, and you know, how advanced is the technology, especially, you know, the regime, the military, the police. These are the questions, you know, I just have, like, layman questions. Maybe you can go into detail, like, really explain what could be the risks, I mean, potentially.
Well, we saw the example of Hong Kong, where people were downloading an app in order to put tags on a map so you can avoid going to those streets. But the people who download this app were asked by the Chinese government directly to Apple to compromise those people who have downloaded the app. So if you don't want to expose yourself through the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, you will be able to compile the app yourself directly from GitHub or one of our repos. But we also are thinking about a way how to eat that. If you, for example, buy the device from us, the app will be bundled inside the device itself. So you can download it from it directly over Wi-Fi, and you can get it installed in your phone without ever getting connected to the internet. So you'll be completely offline, and then you will be running completely on the LoCHa mesh network. So the mobile app that it's open source too, you will be able to see that communications, that like the messages that are being sent to the device and from the device to others inside the mesh is completely encrypted on the phone.
So it's really not trackable. This is what you're saying. It's not trackable in any shape or form.
You could track the information or who is sending it, but you don't know who it is because it's self-done. It might be associated to a random ID, for example. It's like, like a Bitcoin address, which is random, but you don't know who is behind it. Because if you download the app from the device itself, there is no IP address on the internet or SIM card connected to that ID. So there is nothing that can connect you to the app that is being used. So it could be listened by the authorities because radio is open and you can see packets going around. It's like if you start listening, you can see, you can like get information, but it's going to be completely encrypted. So you won't be able to tell who is talking to and what they are saying, but you will be able to tell that there are two entities or more entities talking. So you will be able to see like if you are like internet ISP, for example, you can tell that someone is using your service to send this packet that has this amount of kilobyte, for example, but you don't know what is inside of it. Well, an ISP does have more information for you. So they have your MAC address, they know your address, your physical address, because they are serving you with the internet. And then they probably have your ID. But in our situation, you have a hardware that does nothing, that is not connected to your ID. And if you don't want to buy it from us, you will be able to build it yourself.
Okay, let me ask you, this is really important. I'm not technical, so for my listeners to understand, first of all, would it be possible to find out you cannot find out like who it is, like you just know there's just two entities communicating with one another, but is it possible to find out the approximate location of those entities, for example, that are communicating?
Well, the mesh, as it has some limitation on the distance that it can reach, it needs to go over hops from one device to another to get to the final destination. So you won't be able to, if you see a package, you will be able to tell or not if it has some hops on it, like it has jumps on distances, but you don't know what distance to hit, because one hop could be 1 kilometer, but also could be like 70 kilometers distance, because one of the hubs could be a stationary antenna that reaches very long distances, right? So it's very difficult to tell if you only have the encrypted information where it comes from. But what could happen, and it has been done in the past, is that you could have like this van that the police has with a lot of antennas listening everywhere. And if they find a radio communication that they want to try to track down, they start listening in that direction. And depending on the amount of information that is being sent in that specific frame or band, you will be able to tell if it's coming, I don't know, from north or from south, or you start moving closer and stuff.
Gotcha.
But that's why our nodes are mobile, so you can carry them around. So even if you have someone behind you listening to you and say, okay, this person is transmitting information that it's encrypted over this band on radio, I will start to get close to him it has been claimed or allegedly trapped down. Pablo Escobar, for example, so they were listening to the community, the mobile radio communication he was keeping with his family, right? So, but it's only because he was always in the same place. So and they were like they had some ideas of where he actually was. So, but the thing is that it's currently difficult to listen to all radio spectrum. And more if you are moving around, right?
Right. Okay, I have a couple of questions. The back of my brain. First of all, when you say if you don't want to, you know, get yourself the app, if you don't want to buy, you can put it yourself together. Do you mean? I mean, you're not talking about the regular user. You're like more the technical savvy, like the more technical knowledgeable that can put it together for themselves. Like how easy or difficult would that be, or you know, or could they just follow instructions and put it together, you know?
Yeah, we have all the options, because the idea that the larger mesh needs nodes, a mesh needs nodes in order to be capable of delivering messages. So for its own resiliency, it does need to have several nodes, because if one node goes down, it still can find a path through another way, right? So the thing is that we are thinking not from the early days, we not only thought about Bitcoin transactions. So this is not only a mesh for Bitcoin transaction, because that's a very small niche of user. So we thought about what is more common, which is communications. So we want people to be able to trade, to continue communicating with each other. For example, the entire economy and commerce in Venezuela, and even the government itself and the opposition and everything happens on WhatsApp. So what happened with WhatsApp is down. The entire country collapsed. So you don't have anyone bringing stuff in a truck from the coast to the center of the city. No one is capable of making promises of paying you. It's like, I have to 100 bill here with me. I want you to bring that truck to here so I can pay you. All stuff happened in WhatsApp, right? So if there is no internet or there is no electricity at all, which has happened more regularly in the past year in Venezuela, and it's going to happen in many countries. So from now on, what will happen with the entire economy, with the whole country? People will starve, most probably, because they cannot pay for the food and they cannot bring the food either. So that's what the common use. So the Locha Mesh will let you communicate encrypted privately and securely with others anywhere in the world where there is possible to get you the message delivered over the mesh or even over the blockchain satellite, for example. If you get one message over the blockchain satellite to a place like Venezuela that is completely blackout without electricity at all, that don't have internet either, you will be able to deliver the message to the mesh, even if it's an isolated city. So that's the common use, and that's how we think that more regular people will use it for chat and group chats, sending a short voice recording and things like that, and we'll be able to trade and all that stuff, and also pay with paper. But it's like, in that situation, we do need to have the app on the App Store and the Google Play Store, and we'll be able, and we do need to sell the devices, because most people don't know how to do all these things.
Exactly.
But it's got to be user friendly.
Yeah, it's got to be user friendly. This is the most important: user experience, user interface, and intuitive handling. I mean, it's for the regular user. It's for the needs of the people. So let me ask you before I forget these questions. First of all, am I correct, right? First of all, from data volume, like from the data capacity, it doesn't take up much data, like for transferring or whatever storage or data. So the data and the energy source, because you say battery, so it's not really, you could actually even work with a solar panel, a solar cell, right? It doesn't take much energy, right?
Yeah, we thought about the competition right now. It's like people who are trying to do mesh are doing it wrong. That's why we are doing our own. And those who tried to do it in the past did it wrong. So you have, if you try to look for some working mesh, you won't be able to find any, because most of them fail in the past and they are failing right now. But the only ones that are trying to do something that is feasible and that works, is us and our competitors. And and they have a very limited hardware. So those, the mesh try to decide, the mesh developer who are trying to make mesh out of nowhere, they are trying to decide, should we use mobile phone, because there are a lot of them? And then there are us that we won't be able to use mobile phone, because mobile phone are not meant to be mesh networks devices. So we are making our own hardware, which is capable of running for several hours, like 40 hours, always on, doing relay of messages, running only on battery. And even if you need, it can run on solar power, or a phone that basically runs out of battery in 6 hours. So it's not feasible to do it that way. So we are doing our own device, which has a very low battery consumption, and it does has a really actually working antenna that can give you kilometers long distances for communications that use sub gigahertz radio bands. So this is like a specific device that is meant to work for what it's been made, right? So this is more like a hotspot. So it's like you buy a hotspot and you don't play book with it. You don't play a Call of Duty with it. Like your phone. Your phone is used to play, is used for a camera, for everything. It's a specific device. It's like the router in your house, right? So that's why we are doing it this way. And in bandwidth, we have 10 times the amount of bandwidth of our only competitor. So it is in that we are capable of not only sending short messages and short audio recording or voice recording, we are also capable of sending information like the latest Bitcoin blockchain data that's over the mesh. So we are capable of sending this amount of data. We are also capable of like downloading small websites or websites that are censorship resistant or blogs, things that can be loaded like in a very slow internet connection. Like right now in Venezuela, people work with like 66 kilobits per second or something like that. And we are capable of doing 10 times that. So it's like 500 kilobits per second is like the theoretically our max bandwidth. So for that, for that amount, you can even like not only send a Bitcoin mempool, so you can tell if your transaction has been actually added to a mempool and then to the Bitcoin blockchain. So you can also sync your Bitcoin full node over the mesh without using the
internet. Wow. So before we talk about like the potential of Lightning Network on top of that, let me ask you, what kind of or in what developmental stage or phase are you guys? I mean, to have a realistic picture, like, has this been tested? Are you guys in the testing phase? Do you still need more resources, investors? Or I mean, can I ask you that? Can you talk openly about that?
Yeah, we the company which is Lacha Inc. that developed the devices for the Lacha Mesh is currently at the stage of prototyping the second version of our prototype, which is this one that can do this amount of bandwidth, and we are designing our own board. We are currently looking for investors and also investment or donations to be able to also continue maintaining and advancing the open source software and the open source part of the project.
Right? I mean, this is so such a fantastic project. I'm really calling upon all, I mean, angel capitalists, venture capitalists, entrepreneurs with real ethical, you know, motives and intentions with, you know, if they have investment money, this is one of the most amazing and exciting project we've ever heard of, because it really, it's not like some utopian project. It seems like you guys are really, you just need, you know, maybe a trial and error phase still, test it out and build the infrastructure, right? Like build the network structure. Am I correct? Like,
yeah, we are close to getting to that. We are currently finalizing the first revisions of our own board design that will let us get a finished like development kit that will let us develop or advance the code quicker. So we are also capable not only continue making the software that will go that will run on the devices themselves, but it's also go to testing. So it's like testing the battery life, testing the distances, testing the amount of data that we can send, testing it at the street level, testing it on building level. So all these things that we do need to see what is feasible and what's not, we are currently in that phase. So we need to finish the development kit that is going to be like a release candidate device. So the one that we can actually send to production if we need, but it's also going to be the one that we're going to use for testing. We are currently in that phase. The open source software that runs on the devices, and also the open source software that is the chat app that we are developing for mobile phones is on GitHub. So if you have people interested in helping us also on that part, it's completely open for anyone to contribute to there and donate to the open source project too. But it's also possible to donate or invest, that we have that possibility of getting investment into the Lacha Inc. app, that it's the one that is going to sell the easy to use plug and play devices.
How much would that be? Like, first of all, let me ask you, what would be the time map? Like time, you know, from just from your perspective, what would be the roadmap? like, you know, how long would that take if you had all the resources and you have, you know, you have your team, you have everything, you would need time to test everything out, you know, what's the roadmap?
Well, if we do find enough funding, we can start doing the testing and then going to production in less than 6 months. So wow. It's like wow. Around 3 or 6 months. But at the current pace that we are, with the current investor that we have and the funds that we currently have for the company, that it's also paying for the open source part of it, it's going to take a little bit more time. So it, for the two prototypes that we have been developing, it has taken us 1 year right now. Mm-hmm. Yesterday it was 1 year exactly. So for the first and second prototype, it has took us this time because we've been running with very low resources. But right now we do have people interested on helping us, but we also need funds in order to be able to get to a production ready device or a testing ready device too, that we can start sending the development kits to developers, send the development kits, for example, to the hardware full nodes company who would like to integrate our radio model. So the full nodes not only provide users with a Bitcoin full node that they can control themselves, but that can also operate without internet and without exposing their user to their ISP and their government, but instead use their blockchain mesh for connecting to other Bitcoin nodes and share the mempool and get to miners without using the internet.
This is fantastic. This is so exciting. Let me ask you, what would be, I mean, is that a substantial funding resources you guys need, or is that like a minimal? First of all, I want to say this is music in my ears when you say open source, you know, all the time. This is so great that it's open source. You know, it's not like patented or, you know, like intellectual propriety bullshit, you know. So it's a really like a, you know, like a fuck you technology. It's beautiful. So can you talk about like how much would you guys need? I mean, what would be also the technical challenges from your perspective, right? Or from your, you know, from in this phase?
Well, the difficult part is finding the people who knows a lot about it, about this, and for them to be available. So the people we've been working on are very good people who knows a lot, but for some kind of circumstances, like some of them, for example, were fleeing their country and things like that, so they don't have a job in the place where they just arrived, so they are working with us. But like with the amount of experience that they have, they most probably will be hired by a very big company and do satellite stuff or radio stuff or a mobile company or mobile phone company, things like that. So that's the most difficult part, to get the people who know about this and who would and also would like to work on this if they are available to do it. So for that, we, for example, need to be able to pay them enough to retain them into this project, because not only the idea of the blockchain mesh will keep them with us, they also need to pay for their families and they need to do other things. So we also need to be able to pay them enough for them to be happy on doing the thing that they also want to do. It's not only they want to do, but they also like capable of doing it because they are making enough money. But the project itself, we think that we will need like 1 or 2 years run money. We will need enough money to be able to put 2 years full time onto this, but also for this kind of to be able to hire people who he's experienced enough to help us advance at the pace that we want. So this is the kind of difficulties that we are finding in the hardware design that we believe should be completely open hardware too, but as it's currently being paid by investors, we think that we need to give them the opportunity of making revenue out of the hardware they are paying for. So we are not only going to make the device that we're going to sell, but we are also going to make the guides to make it completely open hardware so you can build your own. And wow, we are also doing all this effort with the same funds. So it's like we are making a promise to our investor that they are going to have a device that is going to be in the market and going to be sold so they can make enough out of it, profit or whatever. Yeah. But our main idea for a year ago was, and still is, to make it completely open hardware. So it is like a standard that everyone would like to build on.
Great. This is so fantastic. It's so exciting. I mean, I already see this because, you know, I mean, I talk, of course, you know, about Iran because, you know, it's, you know, I don't have any connection with Iran, but still I have partially some family, but it's about, you know, whether Venezuela or Hong Kong, this is just the tip of the iceberg we've seen with the whatever protests, riots, uprising, whatever you want to call them. And this is just, I think, the beginning of a, you know, of a series of a chain reaction of protests and people, you know, revolting and raising their voice and you know, I mean, this is a real fight against whatever oppression, repression, surveillance, you know, Orwellian nightmares. Let me go back to the technical. So like in Iran, Zio told me like a lot of people in Iran are using VPN. Whether how effective that is, I don't know. But so the regime or the government is already thinking of whitelisting, like, you know, internet for people, you know, who either, I don't know, loyal or close to the government or, you know, really like really restricted. And he hopes that this is not going through because that would be a really nightmare, whitelisting, you know, internet connections. My question is, would a VPN be with your... you know, with the technology you're developing, be obsolete then? I mean, or is it still useful to, you know, still have that implemented, the VPN?
Well, a VPN service, just like the App Store or Google Play Store, is still run by someone. So it's a point of failure. In that case, for example, if they want to blacklist or whitelist, it's possible. So it's like, for example, VPNs are completely banned from Venezuela, so almost no one can use them. Not only because the government blocks them, but also because VPN services are not allowed to operate in Venezuela because of blockade from the US. So it is still a point of failure. You something that can be man in the middle, can be, it's like, it's basically like the regular internet. The only difference is that your connection goes through an encrypted communication system and then ends up going out somewhere. So that's basically what it does. But it's still a service that runs on top of the internet. And the internet is the one that is overly controlled. And it's very easy for them to shut down because
So it's not possible to circumvent like the VPN restriction or, you know,
The VPN still works over the internet. So if you block the internet, right, you don't have VPN, right, services. And the thing is that the Tor, for example, runs also over the internet, but they do have way to tune out the information. So in China, for example, all the exit nodes are blocked. But using the same technology, you are capable of setting up an exit node that is unknown to everyone, but only you knows about it. So you are able to connect over the tunnel to it directly and like this bridge, you know? So you can get to the regular internet over Tor, even if all the exit nodes are blocked, because you have one that no one else knows about. So what the Lodge Mesh is going to enable, for example, in the case of, for example, Venezuela also have a huge blacklist of websites. So there are many websites that are not accessible from Venezuela, and there are many VPN services that are not accessible either from inside because you are blocked or from outside because they cannot serve you. And the thing is that what we think we can do is that we can put stationary antennas on the border of the country, like in Colombia and Brazil, which this stationary antenna that will have enough power to irradiate information inside the country, but also to get hubs, through hubs, information out of the country, you'll be able to circumvent these blockades. So it's going to be like a direct connection from one isolated LoRa mesh network that is going through this this stationary antenna as a bridge to the internet or to other LoRa mesh networks, like for example in Cúcuta or in Colombia, or if you want to get two different separately or isolated mesh network connected, you will put one of these bridges in the middle and you'll be able to circumvent everything else. So wow. The thing is that your communication won't go through the internet. So it won't be possible for them to block it, because the mesh itself is resilient to censorship. So if you get one node like down, because for example, you disconnect this entire city because you don't want it to continue emitting information or sending information over the mesh, you will be able to find another path in another city or in another node.
Wow, you guys thought of everything. Let me ask you, so if you're talking about like stationary antennas at the border, on the borders, or you know, somewhere around the borders of the specific country, with its Venezuela, Iran, would it be possible for, you know, the military, whoever, the regime, to scramble, or would they shoot themselves into the foot because they're using, you know, do a collective like scrambling? I don't know. I'm just asking to, you know, have a bigger, you know, a broader understanding. Like, is it possible to scramble it?
Yeah, you can get like noise in the middle. You can start blocking the information, right? So you can use the channels and spam them, and in that way you will be able to silence one of the the remitter and the recipient, so you won't be able to listen to anything. So, but you can do that like for that much time. You won't be able to do it like 100% of the time for 365 days a year. And even right. if you do it and the information don't get through, you will always find a path, an alternative path to deliver the message. Because once the message don't get through and you never get the ACK or the feedback that it has been delivered and read, you will be able to try other path to get to it. Even if you have to like go all over the border doing hops to get inside the country, you will be able to do it.
Right. This is really important to understand. Let me ask you, what would you say is your technology, just, you know, for deeper understanding, how different is it from the technology that Blockstream, you know, have done with satellite, again, you know, with all these setups, these highly sophisticated setups? What is like the essential difference, like how, from, you know, the approach to this technology, I mean, or the communication, the broadcasting?
Yeah, they are not like, there are different approaches of doing different things. So the thing is that in this situation where we are being like blocked in Cúcuta and we are not capable of sending information from Cúcuta to San Cristobal inside in Venezuela, for example, because they are making they are trying to scramble the communication or targeting our antennas directly, so we are not capable of emitting information directly inside the country. What we could do, because we are outside, for example, we want this message to get through. We want this message to get to Venezuela. So I don't know, one very important message that we need to get to Venezuela by Bitcoin, for example. And we send this information over the internet or directly over the mesh to the Blockstream API, and we get this message on the satellite. And this information that is on the satellite is now beamed down to the country directly in Venezuela. And someone there has a computer that is listening to the Blockstream satellite, and it's capable of getting the message and then sharing it inside the mesh, which is isolated inside the country. So the message gets through. So that's one of the ways to get the message, either like beaming information directly from the border or from the space itself. So that's what in this case is a way to circumvent this kind of blockades that they are going to try to impose in these radio communications. And the other like Nick Sapple and Grubels, I don't remember the name of the person, they sent a message. I think Rodolfo Novak also did it. They sent an offline Bitcoin transaction from Canada to the US over radio using ham radio. The thing is that ham radio needs you to have a license, and the information can get very long in the distance, but the information has to be very small. So it's, the bandwidth is very small. So what we do is that we have better bandwidth, but the information doesn't have to get that far because it only needs to reach another node in order to find a path doing hops over nodes. So in that we use a band on radio that is free to use, which is and information can be encrypted over that band, with which ham radio cannot do it. So the ones that you have to be unencrypted information. And ham radio operators, for example, in California, have just received an order from the government to shut down their operation and dismantle the antennas, because they have a license, so you know where they are located and you know where they are living, in which case it's not possible with the larger mesh devices, because you either buy them from us or build it yourself, so no one knows where you are transmitting from.
Wow, this is great. I don't know whether it was a presentation or article I read, or a presentation I saw some a long time ago. Let me ask you a very, you know, trivial, I don't know, very layman question. There's specific, seems to be specific radio frequency, radio signals that just bounce up and down or off, you know, into the atmosphere stratosphere. And that's why it's so hot, it's so difficult to censor it, you know, to track it down, to scramble it. Is that true? Like, do you know what I'm going with this question? Are there like specific
No, I do know about this long distances radio that do bounce on the earth. Mm-hmm. But these are basically the traditional radio that is used for communications, like kilometers long communication. But those are not the ones that we are using. But it would also depend on the antenna and the power you are using to transmit. But this kind of question is more for Luis, who is the CTO of the company. Mm-hmm. And he for sure can answer back that, and he can tell you why we are not using it. But the thing is that it does need like huge antenna with a lot of power to do that. But it's good because you will be able to connect the US with Europe, for example, or this type of communication without having to go through a gateway over the internet, which is basically a huge cable that goes under the ocean, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is so exciting. Let me summarize it for myself. So it's a tech. So you guys are working on you've been working for it. How long have you been working on this? When did you start?
Almost 2 years now.
Okay, so two years ago. Wow. So you started off working on this, I just want to call it local mesh network technology, which is open sourced. And from the objective, or you know, the goal is to, you know, have a censorship resistant, you know, private, open, decentralized communication and broadcasting technology platform, right? Yeah. Broadcast.
Yeah, we call it LoCHA mesh, which is LoCHA mesh, mm-hmm. and this. The protocol is open source. The firmware that runs on the devices is open source. The app that is going to be the first app that runs on the LoCHA mesh is also open source and runs on Android and iPhone devices. And it's also like, it can also be used like from a computer or from a Raspberry Pi or ROX 64. So you'll be able to connect your like, I don't know, it's like Bitcoin full node, or if you have a web server, or if you have your Lightning node or Electron server running in a computer, you'll be able to connect to it directly over the LoCHA mesh from your phone directly to it. So you will be able to sync
this
your
mobile
so, wallet. Or
yeah. So Randy, so that would mean this repetitive reminder that, you know, run your own node, run your own full node, becomes even more important in this case, right?
Yeah, because you when you use your full node, you are still using the internet. So the ISP know that you are using the node. And there are some people who runs their nodes with Tor services, which is what they should be doing. But in that situation, the ISP and the government knows that you are using Tor. They just don't know you are using, that you have like a Bitcoin node behind it, but they do know you are using Tor. But when you are using the mesh is the Locha mesh basically lets you connect directly to your node, just like you are sending a message and receiving a message to one of your friends, for example, and no one would be able to tell. Even if they are in the middle, they will be able to, I don't know, it's like, okay, this I'm going to set up this node here so I can get in the middle of the communication of these two people, or this node and this owner of the node. But what he can do is like censor you, so you won't receive the messages. But the thing is that our device will tell, the Locha mesh node will tell that it's being censored. So he will just stop using that path and try to find another one.
And that is on a continuous basis. It constantly changes the panel, the path, the channel or the frequency, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, the thing is, you draw like a map of possible ways to get to the destination. And the thing is that you end up getting an ACK or a feedback. That's a good way to do it because it has less hops than the others, but you keep the other alternative. So you say if one you use this one and you are capable of telling that you are sending messages and you're getting replies, but you stop getting replies, you just try another one. Even if it's going to take you a few more seconds to get there, you know that you can still try that one.
This is really exciting. So we are already at the end of our, I don't want to, go over 1 hour. We could, but I want to, there's a lot of information, there's a lot of precious information, knowledge, and really to comprehension to digest for my listeners. This is so fantastic. I'm really excited because, I imagine once this, starts rocking, we're talking about like communication broadcasting possibilities without independently from the internet. So you can do finally with the hardest and scarcest money ever created, Bitcoin, you can start not only hodling, but finally, using it as a medium of exchange. And there will be, this moment, this critical juncture or tipping point, whatever you want to call it, critical adoption rate point will come in all these countries. Venezuela, Iran, Hong Kong, whatever that is, and they will be like totally free and independent.
And you will be able to use the Bitcoin that you have without having to expose your funds or your addresses over your internet connection in your house or your phone that is connected to your ID because you've been face scanned in order to buy the SIM card or they have the everything about you. So when you send Bitcoin using your mobile phone data network, or you send from your house, you are basically exposing all your funds or your Bitcoin addresses. But if you do it over the mesh, you can simply sign a Bitcoin transaction offline and then broadcast it over the mesh, and someone picks it up and connect over the mesh to one other node and one to other node, and then it gets to a miner directly, and this miner in the mesh get this raw Bitcoin transaction and add it to the block that he is just creating, and then it gets transmitted to all the Bitcoin network. It gets confirmed, and you've made a completely offline, means that you are outside the internet, Bitcoin transaction that no one could tell that it was you. And it's like the Bitcoin full nodes and the miners and the users are all, will be running inside the mesh itself, they won't have to go to the internet, which is the one that can be censored, which is the one can be trackable, the one that you can be exposed to the oppressive authorities in that situation. We'll be able to have like the 10,000 Bitcoin nodes that is going to be exist, connect to each other, talk to each other, and even send messages, because now there are people creating messages inside the Lightning Network too. So we'll be able to set to do all stuff, but in this alternative censorship resistant, private, secure communication system, which is the Lightning Mesh.
This is so exciting. Okay, I want to do a series of talks and interviews, you know, special episodes exactly on this real evolutionary, liberating technology with you guys, in the time to come, next weeks, months, whatever, like going more and more specific and really help you. I really want to help you. This project, your company, your project should be definitely in any angel or venture capitalists out there. If you guys can donate to the project, just do this Lacha Mesh. What's the website? Lacha.io. And you can find them on twitter.com/Lacha_IO. And Randy is on Twitter too with his Twitter handle, it's Randy Brito. So I'm going to put this all in the show notes. So Randy, so thank you so much. This is so exciting. I wanted to go also a little bit into the, because I'm not technical, so I want to really like have a subtopic on Lightning Network. Maybe when the time is mature enough, or when you guys are a little bit more further on the roadmap, like talk about what would the Lightning Network technology, would that increase even more, the privacy aspect, the censorship could you like do a short comment on that, or can we talk about this like maybe some other time?
Well, it's going to work. It's going to be possible to run your Lightning Network node and get it synced over the blockchain server and also over the mesh. And you'll be able to open channels directly or inside the mesh just by making it offline transaction and get it into the Bitcoin blockchain and getting a reply back that it has been created. So you are capable of making payment inside the Lightning Network without having to go to the Bitcoin blockchain every time. So it's going to enable not only communications, Bitcoin transaction, but also a Lightning Network transaction, which after you've opened the payment channel, you will be able to do all the payments inside the Lightning Mesh without having to go outside anytime. So it's kind of the kind of thing that we are thinking about, and thanks to the Lightning Network, we are also thinking on ways how to incentivize running the nodes. So if you have like a full node that is all online, and you add a radio model for our devices, your device will also deliver or relay messages inside the mesh, and you will be and we are thinking of ways to incentivize that, so you get paid inside the Bitcoin Lightning Network for doing it. So in that way, you'll be incentivized to run it, not only your Bitcoin node, but also to be one of the node of the larger mesh.
This is so exciting. This is fantastic, Randy. So you know what? What I would love really to do, I'm in Vienna, you're in, Europe, in Spain. So maybe we can sometime sit together and have a, face-to-face talk. I want to, record this even maybe on with my professional equipment, and have a really, in-depth, I really want to help you guys. This technology. There's so, there are really few projects that I'm really amazed at the rate of speed, at the of how this all this technology in the Bitcoin space or the in general in the communication space is evolving in connection with Bitcoin. So I'm really amazed. So any final thoughts, Randy, before we wrap this up? Any final thoughts or information or where people can find more resources or to look you up? Are you guys on YouTube too or whatever you have?
We are open to anyone who would like to contribute, to help, to code, and to share their knowledge or experiences and all this information or all this technology. And we are completely open to that. We can find Lacha.io, the website, also locha_io on Twitter. So if you have any idea that we should be looking at, or anyone that we should be talking to, feel free to send us a message or send us an email.
Super. Randy, thank you so much. It was really, really enjoyed our talk, and you know, I cannot, you know, applaud you enough. This is really more than inspirational, and you know, it just makes me even more optimistic and more hopeful, and even more, you know, stronger in my conviction and trust that this whole Bitcoin space, and you know, and it's about freedom in essence, in its freedom. So thank you so much for what you guys are doing, and yeah, and hope to, you know, get you back on, whether, you know, live face to face or on a panel discussion, maybe with other, you know, technologists, engineers, investors even. So yeah, thank you so much again, and hope to talk to you soon again.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
All right. Bye, Randy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye, Randy. All right, what you guys think? I'm really blasted away. It's so exciting. So anybody you out there, if you guys are angel capitalists, venture capitalists, or technologists, developers, coders, programmers, whatever you are, if you want to donate to this project, do this, because this is like, we're on the precipice of freedom. And I'm going to, you know, do a special series of episodes exactly on this, because there's like millions and billions of people who will need this technology, and it seems so like so realistically graspable, like so reachable within reach. It's not going to take years. Maybe it's going to take, you know, 6 months, 12 months, whatever it takes. But by that time, yeah, we will finally, you know, make all these centrally controlled and criminal structures and entities, whether it be central banks, governments, regimes, all these Orwellian nightmares, make it finally obsolete. All right. So please like it, share it, follow me on Twitter. Twitter handle is @KayvanDavani. If you want to write me an email, please write me an email, send me your questions, your feedback, your inspirations to kd@kayvandavani.com, or just simply hello@thetotalconnector.com. Write me a positive review if you can. That would support me a lot on any, you know, whatever, Apple, iTunes, any other podcast platform, on YouTube. So I'm going to put all this info on my show notes. And yeah, let's celebrate freedom. Total Bitcoin, total freedom. The Total Connector says...